This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Will you please join me in reading the call to worship responsively? It's on the insert in your bulletin. O God, our resurrection and our life, the promise of your new life in Christ is like a breath of fresh air in a dry and thirsty land. We have gathered as believers and as those who are honestly seeking the truth. Guide our worship this hour.
Speak to us as whole people today. May your truth touch not just our intellects, but also our deeper yearnings of heart and soul. We bring with us our daily concerns, as well as our more eternal questions. May your new creation in us shed light upon our everyday walk.
O God, who fed the multitudes with but a few loaves and some fish, feed us now with the abundance of what you freely offer, that we might overflow with your goodness right where we live. All this we pray in the name of and because of Jesus our Christ. Amen.
Please stand and sing with us number 154, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name.
Fall. Bring forth the
let us continue to use our voices to proclaim this historic confession of faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I'd like to invite any children who are interested to come forward for children's time. If you're not interested, that's okay. Any takers? It's cool. All right. Moving on. Sharing of joys and concerns. So, let us pray for peace in this world. Let us pray for the people of peace to stand up against where there is no peace, and especially stand against evil, injustice, and oppression. I have a prayer request. My stepdad's just really struggling with health problems, which makes my mother struggle. So you know how that goes. His name is Dwayne. What other prayer requests, concerns, joys, and thanksgivings?
Church here, and that he has had, he's recovering, he's on the road to recovery. He has had 8 surgeries in the last 14 months. I don't know any details about it, but he did said, send his love to the church, and please continue to keep him and Nancy in your prayers, please.
Thank you. Sharon? be bold. Thank you. Yeah.
would like to add my son to prayer list. He recently had a colonoscopy and he found something that doesn't look quite normal, so they followed that up with an MRI. Something gone, they can't quite figure it out, so he's scheduled later. The one we have, I'm sure what it is, a fusion biopsy. Supposed to be much more precise, and I guess it can go right in there to the exact location of the needle and the moon cells.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Thank you for trusting your church family with these concerns and requests. We are family and we care for one another, and we practice love, not just any sentimental love, but the love of Christ when we do that. So let us go to the Lord in prayer. Great and wonderful and mysterious God, you are our provider, our healer, our comfort, our King, our source, and so much more. God, we need you to be that so much more because we have so much going on. As we remember a year ago yesterday, the violence and death, and pray for those who were injured and lost lives. As we pray and lift up the gatherings today, we pray for peace. Gracious God, thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you that you are so much more. In your so much more, bless these folks that we've named out loud with your healing touch. And bless their circles of family and friends with your peace that passes understanding. We pray for health and healing and wholeness. And your mysterious but very real presence that changes our circumstance and atmosphere. Gracious God, bless all the teachers and students. Infuse the schools and places of learning with your Holy Spirit, that all who enter and exit will be protected by the angel, the army of angels encamped around those places. Gracious God, help us in all things, in our unknowing, in our uncertainty, to trust you. Help us to turn to you, to cling to you, to abide in you, to remember you, to cast our lot with you. For you are the bread of life, and you are the way and the truth and the life. Turn our mourning and worry and angst into praises and joy, that we might be strengthened anew to continue to work to make your kingdom come. That's your prayer, and we take it upon ourselves and make it our prayer as we pray together the prayer Jesus taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As our ushers come forward, we're reminded that we pledge to uphold the church with our prayers and our presence and our gifts and our service and our witness. So let us ask God to bless these gifts. Let us pray. God, you are the great giver. I ask that you bless these gifts and bless us so that we might be a blessing for our others. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Please remain standing and sing with us number 599, Break Thou the Bread of Life.
That was beautiful. Beautiful. The scripture, I took a liberty and expanded it. So it's actually John 25 through 35 and then 41 through 51. I am reading it from the Message version again. This is picking up the whole of John chapter 6. This is picking up after the feeding of the 5,000. When they found him back across the sea, they said, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "You've come looking for me not because you saw God in my actions, but because I fed you, filled your stomachs, and for free. Don't waste your energy striving for perishable food like that. Work for the food that sticks with you, food that nourishes your lasting life, food the Son of Man provides. He and what he does are guaranteed by God the Father to last." To that they said, "Well, what do we do then to get in on God's works?" Jesus said, "Throw your lot in with the one that God has sent. That kind of commitment gets you in on God's works." They waffled. "Why don't you give us a clue about who you are, just a hint of what's going on? When we see what's up, we'll commit ourselves. Show us what you can do. Moses fed our ancestors with bread in the desert. It says so in the scriptures. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus responded, "The real significance of that scripture is not that Moses gave you bread from heaven, but that my Father is right now offering you bread from heaven, the real bread. The bread of God came down out of heaven and is giving life to the world. They jumped at that. Master, give us this bread now and forever. Okay, so we'll take a break, and now we'll pick it up again. Verse 35, I know it's long. Thank you for bearing with me. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. The person who aligns with me hungers no more and thirsts no more ever. At this, because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven, the Jews started arguing over him. Isn't this the son of Joseph? Don't we know his father? Don't we know his mother? How can he now say, I came down out of heaven, and expect anyone to believe him? Jesus said, don't bicker among yourselves over me. You're not in charge here. The Father who sent me is in charge. He draws people to me. That's the only way you'll ever come. Only then do I do my work, putting people together, setting them on their feet, ready for the end. This is what the prophets meant when they wrote, and then they will all be personally taught by God. Anyone who has spent any time at all listening to the Father, really listening, and therefore learning, comes to me to be taught personally, to see it with his own eyes, hear it with their own ears from me, since I have it firsthand from the Father. No one has seen the Father except the one who has his being alongside the Father, and you can see me. I'm telling you the most solemn and sober truth now. Whoever believes in me has real life, eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna, bread in the desert, and died. But now here is bread that truly comes down out of heaven. Anyone eating this bread will not die, ever. I am the bread, living bread, who came down out of heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live, and forever. The bread that I present to the world so that it can eat and live is myself, this flesh and blood self. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Bread of life, as I stand here and attempt to break this bread of life open for your people, I need your help. I ask that your Holy Spirit mingle between my lips and your hearers' ears so that they will hear what you have to say. Great word through whom all was created, speak through me, and if not through me, in spite of me, but let you be heard and proclaimed. I ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I probably said it here before that John's gospel is my favorite because I don't feel so dumb because nobody in John's gospel gets what Jesus is saying. They're all like, huh? What? Earlier in John's gospel, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus about being born again, and Nicodemus says, huh? What? I got to crawl back into my mother's womb? What? And this, the crowd with the loaves and fishes and the disciples, thanks for the sandwiches, Jesus. You're a great meal ticket. So he's trying to explain some more. The disciples are saying, what? Come again? Give us a clue. What are you talking about? Just tell us who you are. Then we'll decide. The whole of chapter 6 is this confusing repetition of Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. I've had some fun with that over the weeks trying to think about how to present this. It's kind of like that old thing where you go, you practice emphasizing different words in the same sentence over and over again. I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. and on and on and on and on and on. But John is writing in this way for a particular reason. He's writing to get a point across. He's writing to say that, yeah, Jesus is this great meal ticket. Jesus is like Moses. Jesus is someone through whom God works and more. The reason that John brings up the manna is that John is trying to compare Moses and Jesus, kind of do a compare and contrast. I used to hate those essay questions, by the way. Compare and contrast the so-and-so and the so-and-so and the story of so-and-so. Okay. But anyway, he's trying to compare Jesus and Moses and to show that, yes, like Moses, God provided bread from heaven. Jesus, it looked like, provided bread through the loaves and the fishes. But there was so much more. And yes, like Moses, who commanded the sea, God did that through Moses. Jesus commands the sea, because between the loaves and the fishes and what we read this morning, Jesus walks on water. So John is trying to point out, yes, just as God was with Moses, God is with Jesus, but Jesus is so much more, so much more. Just as God was doing it through Moses, God is doing this now and more. So chapter 6, and today and for the rest of our Sundays in August, is a progression about the and more that Jesus is. We're going to talk about the unfolding of who Jesus says he is, and then the crowd and the disciples' responses to that. And we learn that there is a huge difference between what Jesus and Moses both do in performing acts and signs that point to God and identity. See, Moses was a man who performed signs that pointed to God and God's presence with them. Jesus is a man who does that as well. He performs signs that point to God and show the people God is with them and more. We're going to take an in-depth look at what he means by I am bread and more. It's kind of like, okay, now I have to make a full confession. I did not allow video games in the house growing up. I just thought they were evil. I'm sorry for those of you. I'm not judgy. I was just like, you know, raising kids is hard, and this is just one thing I just don't want to even have to contend with, so I didn't allow them in the house. So you drive over your mother if you bring a, you know, guilt. Drive over your mother, you bring that video game in this house. We will not have that. But the one thing that as I was thinking about this sermon, I was thinking about, they're kind of like levels of Jesus, like levels of a video game. So each level of Jesus, like levels in a video game, brings new challenges and new rewards. Each level gets a little more demanding. With Jesus, each level gets progressively more difficult and requires more for us. These Jesus, I am the bread of life statements are proclamations about his identity as God. And he keeps repeating himself because he wants to be God for these people. And he doesn't want them to miss out on the good news that's standing right in front of them. Jesus wants them to know that he is able to meet every single level of their needs. Physical needs, emotional needs, communal needs, spiritual needs. These are the four levels of taking in Jesus as the bread, the sustaining food of our life. And he wants to feed each level of our need. The bread of life sayings teach us to let him in, to open ourselves at each level. So today we're just going to kind of backtrack because on the Sunday that we talked about the verses 25 through 35, I preached on the Old Testament, so we have to get caught up. That's level one, the feeding of the 5,000, and then the transition to level two, what he's saying today. So level one of this Jesus video game, okay, is the feeding of the 5,000. The crowd has their immediate physical need met, and they are into him. They're like, cool, food, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, thanks for the lunch, Jesus. Let's make him king, why don't we? This level one understanding of Jesus gives us a perspective of the crowd, right? It's the economic perspective. It's the here and now. It's the take care of my physical needs, take care of me and mine. It's a surface level. It's important. I mean, we do all have those needs, right? And it's perfectly fine, but everything's immediate. There's no long-term advantage other than, well, if we make him king, this will keep working out well for us because me and mine will be taken care of. The motivation is pure self-interest with level one Jesus. There's no talk of commitment, no talk of discipleship. The focus is on what Jesus can do for the crowd in the moment. And they're drawn to the performance of the sign acts. Jesus responded then, the real significance of the scripture about Moses is that my Father offered it then and is offering it to you now, but the bread of God came down from heaven and is giving life now to the world. So to Jesus' followers at level one, the bread was just sandwiches. And Jesus recognizes that and sees that, so that's why he keeps saying, I'm the bread of life, I'm the bread of life, I am the bread of life, I'm the bread of life. It's like Jesus has to keep saying the same thing over and over again to help them move to a deeper understanding of who he's saying he is. Because the people are stuck in what he does, so much so that they can't grasp who he is. They're stuck in the sign and the performance and missing the identity. They don't get the and more. And the and more is when Jesus says, I'm the bread of heaven. I come as the word of God. I come as someone who can do more than feed you physically. I can feed you emotionally. Perhaps you have more needs than just physical needs. I am the bread that feeds that emotional hunger. The crowd hears bread from heaven, and they think manna. So the fact that Jesus reminds them of the manna helps them to think about that larger purpose that that manna served. It helps him connect the dots for them that, yes, it fed them in the wilderness, but they died. This bread that I'm talking about makes you not die. So let's go back to the wilderness for a second. The Israelites in the wilderness were in pain. I can't imagine what it would be like. It's anguishing to think about the kind of depth of existential angst and pain they were in. They're hungry, they're thirsty, they're homeless and in a desert. Doesn't sound so good. I imagine if I were with them, I'd be saying, whose crazy idea was this anyway? And that's exactly what they did. They voiced their anguish and their angst in the form of a complaint to Moses, and God provided the manna. And so the significance about Jesus reminding them about the manna and playing off that idea is he points to that larger purpose of the manna. There was more than just feeding you. God gave and used the manna to cultivate relationship with the people of Israel. To feed them physically, yes, but to comfort them. To show God was with them in the wilderness. When Jesus likens himself to the manna, He says, I'm the bread of life that God gives to cultivate my relationship with you. I am the bread of life that God gives so that you can have a direct, personal relationship with God. This bread not only feeds you physically, but also feeds you emotionally. I'm the bread that speaks to you the word of God. So Jesus as level two, and this is where we're going to get a little woo-woo and theological, okay? So hold on tight. Level two, I am the bread of life, means I am the Logos. Now remember what that word means? It's the Greek word for word. In the beginning of John's gospel, that's how it starts. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So this bread of life, this level two bread of life, is the Word that's with God and was God and is God and through whom all things were created. It's the Word. It's the Bible. The Bible is one manifestation of the Word of God. The Bible, then, is one manifestation of Jesus. And we don't have time today to get into all that that means. That's time, that's for a Bible study later that we'll have in the fall, okay? It's a little dangly carrot for you, though. I hope you're enticed. Maybe dangly donut is better than a carrot. But what does that mean? If God spoke creation into existence, and the Word of God spoke to us in Jesus, and the Bible is God's Word and is Jesus, that means, therefore, that the Bible is living. It is alive somehow. You know why we say the Word of God for the people of God? Because the people, it's not for everybody. You have to be open to it because it's alive, it's living. I don't know if you've ever had this happen, but have you ever read a passage of Scripture and 15 years later, read that same passage and it speaks something completely different into your life? And oh, by the way, it speaks something directly to your situation that was completely different to that situation 15 years ago. That's because the Holy Spirit is in the mix, okay? This is our theological lesson for this morning, and I hope it makes sense. But level two is God speaking. This scripture talked about God personally teaching you, personally leading you. This is how. The people of God is who the Bible is for, because the people of God have some background, have some understanding. At least, the very foundation is, God, speak to me through this, I'm open. So the jump then from level one to level two is opening yourself up, being willing to maybe go a little deeper, work a little harder, and being open to what God says to you. So there's always a challenge in the video game, right? You gotta defeat some doodlehickey eating the thingies. I don't know. I don't play video games. I play solitaire. To go from level one to level two, you have to defeat the temptation. And that temptation is exactly what was said in Scripture. When the followers of Jesus said, well, why don't you keep showing us, and then we'll observe what we see, and we'll think about it, we'll evaluate the data, and then we'll decide. That's called wanting to be in control. That's called wanting to be in charge of your life. That's called wanting to be God. And there's only one God, and it's God, so we can't be God. The temptation is always to be God. Why do I get angry at the person that cuts me off on the road? Because I think I'm God. I shouldn't be cut off. I'm God. No, I'm not. God's God. And I'm very thankful that God is God. Jesus says, well, if you want to do the works of God, but you want to be in charge of your own lives and futures. When told that the hard work of God is faith in Jesus, faith in the one sent, they still want to be in charge. It's what I just said. Show us a sign. We will see. We will weigh the evidence. We will draw the conclusions. And we might decide to believe. You know, I listened to a podcast called The Liturgists, and it's these two men who kind of, one was always, they were both raised as Christians, and they both left, and then they've come back to Christ, but one of the guys' name is Science Mike, and he's that data person, and so I respect that. I respect the data people. We all have different ways of taking in information. That's why we have the, you know, the Myers-Briggs and all that. But some things are beyond data, and God is beyond data. The mystery of God, our relationship with Jesus, comes down to being open to experience with Jesus. Jesus says the works of God, the way to key in, is to believe in Jesus, the one that God sent. It's hard to both insist upon being in control of how I'm going to receive and believe and be open. So we have to be willing in our video game with Jesus to defeat the challenge of the temptation of wanting to be in control. I skipped something? I did. Oh, yeah. Okay, never mind. I did that. So Jesus is a bread provider. He meets the physical level of needs, physical hunger, which is fine. We all hunger. Except people tend to have more needs than just physical hunger. The fundamental human appetite, the hunger beneath all hungers, is the word from God. Another way of saying it might be, the ultimate hunger is a word spoken into our existential angst, the depth of our pain, the meaning of life, the read the news and wonder what's the point. And that is what Jesus is trying to tell them about. Jesus not only does perform signs, Jesus is God. Therefore, who he is satisfies all the hungers, not what he does. Who he is answers all the questions, not what he does. Remember the other I am statements Jesus makes? I am the way, not I'll show you the way and see ya, have fun storming the castle. Fundamental and substantial difference, and it makes all the difference. And that difference is all I have to do and know is Jesus, and the rest will follow. It's a leap, and it's a challenge. What level are you on with Jesus? And you know, the Christian life, the Christian walk is kind of circuitous and meandery. It's, anybody who tries to tell you it's a straight shot, I personally don't buy into that. I love the image of the labyrinth. The labyrinth is an ancient spiritual tool that has a center. The center, God, and you enter the labyrinth and you go straight for that center, and then the path leads you all the way back out again, and then in and closer and back out, but finally you get to the center. And the depiction is you're always on the path. Sometimes you feel close to God, sometimes you don't feel close to God, but you're always on the path. That to me expresses the Christian journey, the one step forward, two steps back. So if you're at a level one with Jesus today, it doesn't mean you've never been at a level four. But, and this progression, these levels, it's just a way to frame it, okay? I'm not the gospel. The sermon, that's the gospel, the word. It's just a way to frame it, to invite you in, to opening up, and say, what level am I on with Jesus? What temptation do I need to step up and challenge in order to go to my next level? And if you want to go from level one to level two, perhaps a good way to start, not the only way, but a good place to start is where the Israelites started, with the pain. Where is your pain? Where is your pain? If you want to kick it up a notch, as a community, as a church, where is the pain of the community? And how might we meet it? But let's just do it as individuals today. Where, as an individual follower of Jesus, is your pain? And might you complain about it to God and open that Word of God, your Bible, and see what bread from heaven manifests itself to speak to your pain. I invite you to do that now, later, as we sing our last hymn in your pews or come to the altar. It's all good. Amen.
Sing with us number 171, There's Something About That Name.
From heaven, speak to you, enlighten you, comfort you, give you peace, guide you, and lead you. The eternal bread of heaven goes with you. May it nourish you. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.